Hey there, plant lovers. Welcome back to the Black Plant Chick podcast with your host, Jade. If you're new here, she's an author, content curator, podcaster, of course, but more importantly, a black woman who loves plants, sex, and success. Buckle up for a new episode from the only podcast where they tell the truth about their unhealthy obsession with plants, their needy desire for good sex, and their never-ending climb up the mountain of success. Whether you're a novice plant parent or a more experienced grower, this show is for you. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome your host, Jade.
Welcome to the Black Plant Chick podcast. I am your Black Plant Mama Jade, and we're here another episode. I'm really excited about this episode because I have someone joining me who I feel is just a star in this plant community. I'm definitely a fan, and I'm so excited to bring him on. So I'm going to skip all of the other stuff that I normally do when I start my podcast and just start off with saying, y'all, I have Nelson Zepicano. I said it?
Say it right.
All right. Joining me, y'all. If y'all don't know who this man is, you are sleeping underneath a dead plant. Because he is someone incredible in this community. Nelson, welcome to the Black Plant Chick podcast.
Thank you. Wow, what such a warm welcome. That's incredible. Thank you. I appreciate hearing that. I feel a lot more modest and humble. I don't consider myself all of those things, but I'm just like happy to be a part of the community.
Well, listen, you are all of those things. You're definitely leaving a footprint in this community, and you are paving a way for people like me who, you know, want to do the same. Listen, take all this.
I'll try.
All these flowers, okay? Take them all.
I appreciate just being seen in general, so thank you.
Well, thank you for joining my show. I am excited to have you on here once again. But before we get into everything about you and what makes you the superstar to me, because I'm going to keep giving you your flowers all this episode, I would like to do a icebreaker with you. Are you game?
Yeah, I'm down. Let's get it.
All right. And I think this is perfect for who you are. I found the perfect one. All right. Okay, here it is. It's, would you rather lose all of your money or all of your pictures?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a really good question. Uh-huh. Probably all of my money.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like I knew you would say that.
Yeah, definitely. There's just photos I have of my daughter that is just kind of irreplaceable.
Yes.
And I've been at $0. It's not that hard to come back from.
Okay. And some of the memories that we create with just our photos are priceless.
Exactly. I'm a visual artist, so it's super important to me.
Awesome. I knew you would say that. I just wanted to see if I was right.
Yeah, well, definitely.
All right. So you already mentioned briefly what you do. You're a visual artist. You are the founder of Black Men with Gardens. You are just a force to reckon with, in my opinion. But for the listeners and viewers as well, because I am new to the YouTube space and this podcast will be airing on YouTube, which I am frightened. Okay. YouTube scares me. Because
it's big and vast. Yeah, it's a whole different beast.
and people will just leave comments just because they wasn't having a good day. They didn't even watch your video, but they'll just be like, and it's, right. It's just another thing.
First 2 seconds of it, they'll dislike it just to make sure yes. that they tell the algorithm they don't like you.
Yes, make sure you don't win. But right, exactly. for those of my listeners who may not know who you are, mm-hmm. Nelson, tell us who you are and what makes you so special.
I am just an artist living in Los Angeles, California, and dealing with the same stuff that everybody else is kind of dealing with in today's world, but just trying to find my own creative way of dealing, coping, and creating a life for myself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm from the Bay. I know you're not from Los Angeles, but I am a Cali girl.
Abstract of an answer.
But okay, there's so many different areas I like within your story that I could start, but I want to start from the beginning because I want to say that visual artistry came first for you, right? Uh-oh. Oh no, the audio. Several minutes are still saved. So we don't have to worry about re-recording that at all. But we will have to go back into who you are as far as the artistry side and the digital art or digital art, right, that you do. So let's just kind of, yeah. I know that you said that you wanted to be better than your sister. I think we all had those moments as siblings where we wanted to be better than our sibling. I know for me, my sister yeah. has amazing penmanship. And so I wanted to be better than her. And so I would practice every day looking at her handwriting and writing the same way. And I still am trying. Like, I feel like she's still way better than me. But I know you mentioned that you wanted to be a better artist than your sister. So that's taking you very, that's taking you very far. And you've done so much with that talent. What does it do for you, I guess, mentally, getting into that space and being able to just express yourself through art?
That's a good question. I don't even know if I even view it as like getting into a mental state anymore. Mm-hmm. I guess as cliche as it'll sound, I live art. Like when I wake up and think about what my schedule is set forth to do for the rest of my life is to create something.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's moments of like rest and there's moments of like, you know, being elsewhere and stuff like that. But nah, my like purpose on this planet is to think of ways to solve creative problems. Mm. And I kind of just like focus on that and just kind of remain in that place and operate from a place like that. Whether it's a creative problem in my life, whether it's a creative right. problem for a client, whether it's in my household and my family and my community, it's just all about always finding a way to use my own personal perspective and unique vision to then produce something hopefully of value for all of those things, community, family, self.
Yeah, definitely a value. I mean, I know you're bringing a lot of value to the world. Okay, so part of what you do, you now have, not now, but you've merged your love for art with plants as well. Mm-hmm. And you've gotten very creative with those two things. I mean, taking something from, let's just say, a thrift store, an old clock, and turning it into a home for different varieties of plants to live. Where did that vision come to? Like, how did that start for you? Did you just pick up something one day and was like, I'm about to put a plant in this?
Yeah, it comes from the same mentality that I was just kind of explaining. Mm-hmm. It's when you just like live a type of life where you always have to be creative with everything that you have around you. And it's about creativity and it's about accessibility. So at the end of the day, my art form just evolved from pure necessity of I want to create art. I might not have everything that I perceive an artist might need to create good art, but I can still create good art just with the things around me. And so, yeah, these things happen to be around me, and you know, cheap items can be found at the thrift store, and plants. You know, I was introduced to plants into my life just to learn how to draw them, and they just happen to be around at the perfect moment. And just being the type of person I am, I one day just looked at it, and like I said, from my own perspective, was like, I'm going to work with these things.
Right.
And, yeah, and just kind of took off from there. It's always just kind of been a natural evolution, and it's never just kind of like a wake up and start doing the type of thing. It's like, you know, you kind of get these built different building blocks at different times, and then
right.
the next thing you know, you have enough blocks to like build a house.
A house. Yeah. There you go. House. You said something that really stuck with me. You said that you didn't have all of the tools that, you know, maybe a person would think in their mind that an artist needs, right? Mm-hmm. But you made do with the things that you had, and you still created something incredible. So this season on my podcast, we're going to be talking about what I call the PSS. And so every episode will touch on one of those areas, and that's plants, sex, and success. And so every episode is different, and we'll be within that PSS zone throughout the season. And so this episode, I want to touch on plants, of course, but also success. And I think it's important what you said, because oftentimes as just someone who wants to create something, you think that you have to have every single piece in order for it to come to. And it really hits home for me, because I create a lot of things. Like, for me, art is who I am. So my real name, the initials are art, A-R-T, right. You know, Alika, my middle name, and then Turner. I don't like to tell people my name, middle name, because people be calling me by that.
Same. I've always been like that. Yeah, I don't tell anybody.
Yes, I don't tell nobody, but just know my initials spell out art. So I feel like I've always just been in the space of wanting to create, but there are times where I don't always have the tools. For example, I don't have a team. So everything that I do on my own, from publishing my own books to creating things like the plant deck, to hosting this podcast. But oftentimes people think that you have to have everything together in order to put something out. So I love that you mentioned that, you know, I didn't have all the tools that, you know, an artist may have, but I still was able to create something. I just wanted to highlight that point, because there are a lot of people out there that are sitting on amazing ideas, right? They're just sitting on things that could do great in the world, but because they don't have in their mind all of the tools, they'll probably never put it out.
Yeah. That's, and it's one just, of the biggest obstacles to people even getting started. They believe that they got to have so much to just even accomplish these things. And that's kind of, you know, that's why it's interesting that part of your series, you're touching on success. And that's one thing that, you know, a lot of us are all still trying to achieve some type of form of. And but a lot of people don't necessarily realize, it's kind of like what I said earlier, it's not something you wake up and you're like, ah, success. It's like, no, like by the time you reach a point where you can say I'm successful, you kind of would have already known you were already on the way there because of the work you were putting in, the amount of discipline you learned, the blocks essentially that I was talking about earlier that you started to gather. You don't just wake up and suddenly everything is just there. You accrue everything over a large amount of time, and then one day you open your eyes and you look at everything that you've, you know, that you've gotten together, and you're like, wow, you know, it hits different than what we kind of get the impression. The media kind of makes it seem like it's this one day you open your eyes and everything is just gold and glitter, and it's, you know, things are just different. And it's not necessarily like that. Things happen gradually. Yes, of course, things can happen exponentially overnight, and things can change like that. But at the end of the day, the majority of us are going to reach success through putting in work in any type of field, and just steadily grinding towards it. And, you know, And over time, you'll realize like, oh yeah, my even my vision of success at the beginning has changed. So that, you know, by the point where I would have been like, like it's like, oh, it's commonplace. It's I've been doing this, you know. So it's like,
No, that's real, because my vision has changed. When I was younger, for me, success was all about money. It was like, if I had the certain number of money, amount of money in the bank, then I was successful. And then I put out my first book in 2015, and it is still like charting on Amazon. I don't even do as much as I need to be doing behind it, but it's it like that book pays bills every month. And I have to remind myself that that is an accomplishment, and that is a part of your story of success, right? And in order for me to kind of remember that, I have to stop doing the things that I'm doing for a moment and sit in a space and reflect, because I'm the type of person that when I'm always creating in my mind, like I put out a lot of t-shirts, right? Because for me, I have this thought of what I want to see on a t-shirt. And I'm thinking, why am I waiting for someone else to create it when I have the tools to create it? And so I'm always putting out a new t-shirt. But I found out that when I'm doing one thing and then completing that, then going to the next, I'm not sitting in enough space of sort of gratitude, where I'm not like actually appreciating everything that I've accomplished. And so that has helped me look at success very differently. Now, you can ask me tomorrow, do I feel successful? And I might be like, but that's because I'm looking at the wrong things, I guess. I'm sort of basing my success on, I don't know, just the wrong things. But I asked you when I was preparing for this show, do you consider yourself successful? So I want to ask you again, do you consider yourself successful?
Yes. I'm very successful.
Yes, you are. And what... I told you I'm going to give you your flowers this episode. And that is my job as a Black woman to a Black man, is to make sure that you are recognized for what you are doing, not just in the plant community, but in the world and in your daughter's life. Like the things that you are creating for her to see is incredible. So I want to make sure that you know that if no one has told you, no one has given you your flowers. I'm doing that today.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So how do you measure success, Nelson?
It's over a period of time. Like, again, it's kind of like knowing where I've been, knowing who I was, and then being able to look at where I am and who I am now, and being able to really be grateful for all of those things. So it's there's the growth aspect of it. But then it's also, let's say, from an artistic or professional standpoint, I'm working, I only work on things that I'm passionate about or that I want to work on. And I create my own way of living, which is exactly what I wanted to do when I left high school and knew that college wasn't for me, and that because of that, my life would be a lot harder and different. And that, like, this was in 2007, before even the term creator was invented. I just knew that I wanted to create my own way to live my own life. Somehow I would have just lived life like how I was being told I needed to live my life. And I knew in 2007 that I could, and I would, and I would go through everything I needed to go through to get to the places that I needed to get to. And I succeeded in doing that, and that that shit hurt a lot. I went through a lot of stuff, but I can like realistically look around at where I'm at now, the people in my life, and also the projects that I'm working on, and know that yes, this is like everything that I said that I wanted, and the great part of that is that it scares me. Like I'm working on things that I'm working on things that I could fail at. That's the main thing. Like I. The success isn't about like, oh, everything that you did is right, everything that you did paid off, everything. Nah, being a success is getting to try your ideas, is working hard to bring your ideas to life, because the outcomes could, you never determine that. But if you create and you have a mission and you follow all the way through, it could be a failure and you're still a success. So at the end of the day, if you're not doing things that scare you, if you're not doing things that your heart told you it wants to do because of all of this different stuff, then you'll have a hard time accepting that you're successful. But then also, a lot of us are just afraid to be successful because we're afraid of losing it. We're afraid of, that's why I said so easily earlier, like, I can lose all of my money. I don't even want, I've been there. Trust me. Like, one day I'll like really show, like, but like, I've been there. And it's like it, that's the ups and downs of life. But there's a quote, and it's by a black woman. I can't remember exactly. But it talks about, the fear that we all have of failing, especially, let's say, as men and as providers and stuff, this ingrained feeling that we have to be breadwinners and providers and stuff. And it's like, if we ultimately fear that, there's the side of us, the, let's say, the kingly side of us, where it's like, if you have the right mind, if you have a urge to, to learn and to build and to thrive, like, you can never fail. Like, you can, you can never, like, I used to have a fear of like ending up homeless. And it's like, even while I was homeless, I knew I could never really truly be like homeless, because I would always find a way to lift myself up. So it's like, if you have a mindset like that, even if you're down at zero, it's not your general state of being or where you're going to exist forever. And to
Just all
succeed
of
is to
you.
persevere. Yeah, no matter where you're at, in life, is to continue to have optimism and choose to persevere regardless of the obstacles and circumstances in your life.
You said something about fear, and it makes me think about when I was planning, not creating the plant deck, but when I was planning to share it with the world, I was terrified. Because
As you should.
I mean, and listen, when I do my when I publish books, that for me is like flipping a pancake. Because I've been doing it for so long and I've helped people do it, that's second nature for me. But creating something like the plant deck that I had not seen at all within the plant community, it terrified me. To the point where I think that I released it, I was still fearful, but I didn't put enough force behind it that I should have. And I recognized it recently, and I'm like, I gotta re-release it because it's such an incredible item that I know it could be so much more, but I think I was afraid of the, possibly failing or, putting it out and then it not getting the attention that I believe it deserves. So I kind of put it out and was like, here it is, guys. If you want it, come get it. Instead of being like, yo, we gonna go live, we doing this, I'm sending it to you, I'm sending it to you, like all of these things. And I know I should have done that. And it's crazy how fear works. Like, you know that you got something, but then it's this other part of yourself that's like, yeah, you got it, but ain't nobody gonna buy it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you ain't
But
doing it.
what if? Yeah, you got it, but what if? It's like
Right. And it's crazy because I think I know that I have an opportunity to, it can still be a success. Like, I'm not worried about that. But it's just wild how fear works. And I'm like, nah, I didn't, I've worked hard on that item. And I'm like, I didn't do that for nothing. But it makes me think about this TED talk that Jemele Hill did, and she was talking about, and Jemele Hill is a journalist for those who don't know, but she was talking about success and fear and why so many people are afraid of success. And it's because the fear of failure. It's the fear of me putting everything that I have behind this one thing and only for it to fail. But it's like you don't even know if failure is even possible
You gotta
because
lean into it.
you didn't even lean into
Yeah,
it.
you know how valuable failing is. Like, failure is one of the most valuable experiences you could ever have, especially, let's say, even if as a business owner, you're talking about putting out a product. Like, It's perfectly, it's a good thing. It like I would argue it's a good thing to put out a product and it fail, because then you know you have this experience now, and that what is that experience going to do? That's going to help you form your business strategy moving forward, instead of just bumping around in the dark guessing. All of us know you can always, the main thing is to lean into the fear, to allow it to exist. It doesn't have to go anywhere. You can, but what do I do if I'm scared? Then do it while you're scared. It's like
Listen,
you can, it can
okay?
exist, it can still be there, but at the same time, if you continue to just adopt the mindset that you'll continue to keep trying, then like you'll always be a success. That's the main thing I try to kind of get people to understand, and to really, really lean into fear, because at the end of the day, fear is stopping you from everything dope in your life, literally. Like, fear is stopping you from so many dope things in your life. And yes, yeah, fear is stopping you from like horrible shit happening to you as well. That's true. But it's like a dragnet, catches you don't know
It's
what's gonna get caught in that net sometimes. But if you personally remain the constant person that continues to like, swim forward, then that net'll never really truly drag you down.
And I tell the people that that come to me who want to write books. So I help like clients who are referred to me. I don't help everybody publish a book because it's a lot of work. But because I know so much about the industry, I help those who I know really want to do it. But I tell them, even if your book doesn't sell, do you know how good it feels to have written a book, published it, and see it out there? Like that alone is incredible. Like I have books that I've written that are still on the shelf, but I have books that are successful. But just to be able to say that those words in that book I wrote and I followed my heart and I published it feels incredible. You know what I mean? Like their people's dreams of writing is getting on the New York Times bestsellers list. But what they don't realize is that's about money. That ain't even about the book. A lot, you know what I mean? Like you'll see a lot of celebrities on that list because it's a money game. Some of them books ain't even worth being up there, but because they know or they're working with the right companies and that's how they're getting there and enough people are
They can
buying
get
it.
X
Enough.
amount of sales, and
Yeah, like it's about money. How about being an Amazon bestseller? Or how about all of your family members looking at you like, I got an author in my family. You know what I mean? Like that alone feels incredible. So fear
yeah,
can.
you gotta move, you gotta create your own goalpost. It's not about other people's metrics of success. It's about gratitude and realizing what you have, what you're working for, and the amount of progress that you make. And I kind of want to say something about, what you're saying about, authors and stuff like that. And it kind of goes back to the example what I was talking about, being successful, how you don't just wake up one day and you're just successful. So at the end of the day, those valuable experiences you get through your failures is what's going to form your success in the future. So you want, by the time you get the studio where you have a producer working on these things, you will understand every single role, how everything's done, because you've done it all yourself. You that adds value to what you were creating. You would be powerless if suddenly they said, "Hey, this studio's all yours." You wouldn't even know what this person is doing, this person's doing. You start losing money on, that's how you get stuck. That's how you become a victim to your own success. It has to build up slowly. So you put out failures, those end up being your successes, because then on your next project, you're like, I'm not doing this, I'm not doing this. You learn so much through that stuff. Like everything that like brings me fear and like the heartache and stuff like that, like, man, like, is that really helping me round out the edges on the thing that's really gonna work? You know what I'm saying? Like, and as long as you kind of remember that and keep pushing forward, then it's, I'm so grateful to continuously be able to fail in front of people and try different things and always do, to attempt to keep, and then wake up the next day and attempt, and
And
that's
just
it.
to have the space to attempt, you know what I mean? Like just to be able to wake up and say, I'm about to try this new thing and go for it. I've had to really set back and appreciate that ability because I'm like, there are some people who wake up and it's none of that. Like I can wake up and be like, I'm about to create something. You know, like I'm working on a special edition of my affirmations book, and I'm sitting, and as I'm working on it, I'm like, this is something that you need to be thankful for, because not everybody has the ability to put together a book or wake up with the idea to do this. So just even being able, like you said, just to wake up and go for something new and something foreign, or, you know, or whatever, is incredible within itself.
Any like real artist will tell you too, it's like, at the end of the day, there is no like finish line or anything like that. Like, you know, by the end of any artist's career, they've created hundreds of pieces of work, maybe thousands, and every single piece has its own reception. It could be a zero, it could be a billion, but it's like, if you ever stop and look at this thing, like, I've done this and this is my success, like, then tomorrow that makes you unsuccessful, because it's now that your success is now in the past.
Right.
So every single artist understands that it's only ever about the process of creating and evolving and creating and evolving and learning and creating and evolving and trying and experimenting and failing and succeeding. And then you do it all over again.
And then it's keep going.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole cycle. It's not one point.
It feels good to do that too. I feel like I'm like that with my books. I have a lot of unfinished novels in my arsenal, like just feeling inspired and writing and going and then stopping and going and going. But to just be in that space of creating, even if it doesn't go anywhere, just feel good. I feel like it's like exercise for the mind, you know, like just writing or creating something, even if I don't plan on ever sharing it with the world. It helps me as a creative. And I feel like other creatives would get that. Like I'm sure there are things that you've created that maybe you just didn't share yet with anybody, or maybe you have no intentions to, or, you know, something that you want to keep to yourself. But it just feels good to like continue to create. Like, I love that. I love having conversations with other creatives who understand what that feels like. Like, I think that's dope to me. Okay. So I have something else I want to touch on, but I want to go back just a little bit to Black Men with Gardens and this page that you've created, where you showcase other Black men who have gardens, who love plants, who are really just embracing everything that plants have to offer. That page is incredible. And for anyone who may not know, how did that start for you?
It started during a time where there wasn't any representation at all. You know, the Black plant community is large, and it continues to grow every single day now. But at a certain point in time, there might have been maybe, you know, 100 people, or not even 100 people, 100 photos, and, you know, let's say Black gardeners. Obviously, every hashtag starts somewhere, but it was just during the really early stage. So hashtags like Black gardeners hadn't taken off and stuff. So if you were a garden enthusiast, you would just kind of look for gardening content under hashtags like indoor plants, indoor jungle, or you'd go to, you know, popular plant pages that what they were supposed to be doing was showing people in the plant community and stuff like that. But ultimately you just realized that we weren't being shown at all. It's not like we weren't there. It's not like we didn't exist. It's just, we weren't being disseminated into, let's say, the mainstream media the same way all of these other images of like cats with plants or, you know, Scandinavians with plants or something was, but So like we just wasn't there, and we knew we had to be there, and it's crazy. Me and Jasmine just literally around the same time just decided to make pages that showed the images that we wanted to see. And Jasmine created both Black Men with Gardens and Black Girls with Gardens, and handed over the reins to Black Men with Gardens to me. And because I just couldn't let her do all the work. That's the way it always seems like. Black women have to save us all. It's like, come on, like I'll help as well.
Listen.
So at the end of the day, we've just, you know, really spent a lot of time looking for all of the images and the people that we wish we saw during those times, and then it's just literally grown from there.
Yeah, well, it's definitely popping over there. I know for me, my time on social media was a little different before I came to the plant side of things, because I was an erotic storyteller. I had an erotic podcast, so I saw very different images on social media. I didn't see plant people at all. I mean, I would see plants in the background and stuff like that, but when I made a pivot and came over here, I was just like, wait a minute, you know, like where did all of these people come from? I was so surprised. Wait, let me plug up my computer real quick before that be the next issue we have.
It's all good. Do your thing.
Okay. But I was just really surprised to see so many Black people in this space. Like, I had no idea that it was even possible. It was amazing to see. And so I thank both you and Jasmine for creating that, because that is what I saw first. Because I did do like the hashtag thing and, you know, trying to see, because when I started my page, I didn't know what to expect. I was going through something, and I needed to move away from it. And I used plants to help me. And so I was like, well, I'm going to show my plants on Instagram. Why not? And then I used some hashtags and I found your pages. And it just really opened up another world for me. Like, I just couldn't believe that there were so many Black people reconnecting with plants and in a positive way. I was recently watching an interview you did with Freeform. And you talked about how a lot of times we have such a negative relationship with the land because of the trauma that our ancestors and stuff experienced. But now it doesn't have to be that way. You know, like, I love going and volunteering on farms, and it doesn't make me feel, you know, it doesn't make me feel bad. It actually inspires me. It actually makes me feel so good to just get my hands dirty and to be out there doing the work. And so when I saw that side of social media and people posing with their plants and, you know, sharing content and even making money off of content, I was just really inspired. And as a creative, it was only right to turn my love into a brand. I had no idea that it would have gotten this big. Black Plant Chick, I did not expect it. Like, within a year, I was over 10,000 followers. And I was like, whoa. it's still, at times I'm like, all right, remember that now you have a different type of responsibility. I know people say, oh, nah, you know, I got all these followers, but I'm still just me. Like, no, you are a little bit different in how your approach and how you post. Would you agree?
Can I say one thing? Because I was speaking with a founder of a body positive outdoor company earlier, an older Black lady, and we were talking about a couple of different things, and I've realized that it's you, because you just said the same thing, you know, like, we're constantly surprised when these things happen.
Yeah.
Like why are we surprised? No, like that was supposed to happen. Like, you know what I'm saying?
It's
like,
why? I'm gonna tell you why I was surprised. Okay. For me, coming from the sex side of things, my page on Instagram was deleted often. It was blocked. I was shadow banned a lot. So I experienced no growth over there. And I was always at 4,000 followers, 3,000, you know what I mean? Like, back and forth for a long time. And I was working my butt off. So for me, it was surprising, because I went from having this page for a couple of years, working my butt off in this space and not growing, to coming over here and seeing it skyrocket within a year. So that's where the
surprise. That's also what's important. And that this is like kind of going to, like, let's say the professional side of things. Mm-hmm. That kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about, as a business owner, you have to be able to test products and see what doesn't work and then come back. And so it's like you just said, like, you see that this other thing here wasn't selling, but when you rebranded and you did this, and because of the personality, the things you learned doing that other stuff, you was able to bring it into this and then take off. So it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, if you really take that in and, like, if you really understand that principle, then you know that like everything is going to change. You're just like, even with what you've created now, you're going to evolve that into something else later on. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, and you shouldn't be surprised if you decide you want to dream big,
Yeah,
if
that's
you
true.
get, you know, certain results and stuff. Like
That's true.
that's just plain and simple. Yeah, definitely.
That's true.
Like
You're
the
right.
universe is always trying to see people do great things, and if you attempt it, no matter what the like, it's almost like science. But if you met the alchemist, like you'll understand what I'm talking about. But it's like at every moment, if you attempt something, if you put something out into the universe, something has happened, and there will be some type of reaction for it. And like, yeah, we're afraid of that reaction, but it's like, don't be afraid to stir the pot and like stir up, you know, the magic of the universe in your favor by deciding to do something outrageous, you know, or big, or you know,
You're
incredible.
right. You're right. I feel like I'm stirring the pot now because so it took me some time to merge sexuality into this plant space, right? Because I had let go of that side because it so as an empath, I was taking in a lot of just everything. Like people would come into my inbox and tell me about the lack of things that they're experiencing in the bedroom. And they would open up about, I mean, sad situations. And it was just like, oh my God, like I'm not a therapist and this is way too much for me. And I was losing sight of who I was because I was taking on everybody else's stuff. But I enjoyed creating a space where I can talk openly about sexuality because, I mean, first of all, like when it comes to sex, everybody's having it. You know what I mean? People are just afraid to talk
Really?
about it. Oh, well, you
You
know.
all are having sex?
I, you know, for the most part, I think that, you know, but people, it's not, it's still not normalized, the conversation. Like people still cringe. And so I was really nervous to introduce it because people would be in my inbox and be like, so I heard you have an erotic podcast. When are you going to start, you know, talking about that on this podcast? And I'm like, give me a second, like, hold on. So now I'm slowly introducing that side and I'm definitely stirring the pot. I'm watching my numbers fluctuate because when I post something risky, I see the number of people who unfollow and it's just like, oh Lord, you know, and we try not to get caught up in numbers, but sometimes it can, you know, hurt you in a way when you see that you just lost 100 followers because
Yeah, but you know, actually one of the best things that I've done, like maybe a month or two ago, is I turned off like all like my like and stuff, like all those like counts and stuff like that on social media, because then I can take the time when I want to look at my insights, I can go in and do that and like look at my numbers then. But it takes the focus off of that. And now I'm like coming back to just using Instagram visually to just look at, you know, inspiration essentially. Because you know, taking in those numbers with the visual, with the visuals, with the captions, it's a lot.
It's a
So
lot.
I try to distill it, especially just because of the nature of what I do when it comes to, you know, like reposting and scouring content and curating and stuff like that. I have to be super conscious about the type of media I take in. So it's like, yeah, it's just kind of being really careful on that aspect.
I definitely have to get to a place where I'm not checking so much, especially after posting something risque,
Yeah.
because it
It's
does.
great losing followers. You get the people that want to stick around. It's
That's
like,
true.
I love that this whole reset just happened at the end of last year, and a lot the engagement just dropped for everybody, and everybody was like pulling their hair out. And I'm like, oh, now this is kind of better, because now I get to test and I get to, you know, the pressure is off, and I get to go back to testing out different things. And then I get to, you know, now that when the crowd size is smaller, things can become more intimate, things can become more personal. You
True.
get to kind of really see like who's sticking around, who's, you
True.
know, you get to really truthfully find your community. But then again, if the numbers drop all the way back down to, let's say, zero, and then you're able to build it back up to 1,000, like, you know you're onto something, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's these, you got to take these opportunities and not just constantly view them as obstacles. You gotta That's why this is the first thing I said coming into the conversation. It's like, that's just the way I live. At every obstacle, whether it's a personal issue or anything, it's like, what is the creative solution for this? What can we do using what we have to fix, to make it better, to bring value? And, you know, if you can kind of approach the situation in your life like that, even when it comes to like numbers, you know, you should be losing followers if you're experimenting. It's like, you know, the nature of social media and followers and stuff like that, it's wild psychologically. At the end of the day, like, certain people think they know you, so when you do things differently, they're like, what the f? Certain people want you to stay single forever, or else they'll lose interest as soon as they find out you have a partner,
which is,
so
if you realize
this type of stuff, it's like, why the hell would I give a f about a following, you know? That's what I'm saying? True. Like, I give a f about disseminating my artwork in a certain type of way on this major platform, because it was a visual platform at first, and it became this gallery for artists and stuff like that. Now it's one of the biggest marketplaces we have, so there's it's important to utilize as a tool. But why the heck would I care about the what's the word for it, let's say the ancillary, the smaller parts of it? Like, I'm using this tool for this specific purpose, you know, to accomplish something, and me, my accomplishing it doesn't necessarily, you don't hold the key to that, you or anybody else, you know what I'm saying? So once you realize that, then you're free. it don't matter.
I'm getting more into that way. It's funny, because some days I feel like I'm there, right? I feel like you got it, like, this don't bother you, you know what I mean? Like, you got it. And then there are other days where I'm an overthinker. I can't help it. I just overthink a lot. It's just, and so I'm working on that. But I feel like I am getting better at understanding that if I could not be myself, even in this brand, then I wouldn't be happy. And who I am is a variety of things. I'm a creative, you know, I love art and things like that, but I also love talking about success and sex. Like, it's just who I am. And if I could not include all of those things within this brand, I don't feel that I would be happy. So now that I'm merging everything together, it does feel good. And to be able to still have people who want to come on the show and who want to still listen, and, you know, to see how crazy people go when I post certain things, and they're just like, oh my God, I can't, I've been thinking this. I'm so glad you posted, like, oh my gosh. So it just feels good to see that. But anywho, so we are moving along in the episode. I want to end with an article that you had in Clever Magazine. And you mentioned something about, I'm going to read the quote, and it says, I never look at the number. It's more about what they do for me and how they make me feel. And you're talking about plants. So I remember we had a moment on social media, you and I, I think I made a post about how oftentimes people get so caught up in how many plants they have and always having plants and keeping up with the Joneses, all of those things. And you were just kind of like, yes, like, oh my God, if people stop trying to keep up with this thing. And so I really like that you said that, because I still see that. And for whatever reason, it really irks me to see people so caught up in the number of plants they have. And
it's human nature. At the end of the day, it's, Even I have to contend with stuff like that. It's it's the reason why the concept of a meme even exists. Like, things spread throughout society and just catch on, and before you know it, you're doing it. It's like, how many people got swept in the TikTok dances before they really even knew, like, if they really wanted to, if that was really part of their brand? It's just like, you can get kind of swept up in the flow of a lot of different things. And that became one of them. It's like, to have the most plants, or to present as some type of expert with the information that people needed. And so it's like, at the end of the day, if it's almost like what I was saying earlier about waking up and being successful, like, you weren't here in these communities putting in this work and doing these things beforehand, and now suddenly you are rushing to get 200 plants, and then you are rushing to tell me how to do something with my soil or something like that. And then
Right.
there was, because of the pandemic and all that stuff, there's so many people that
Yes.
rush to do all that
Yeah.
altogether. So it's crazy to see a whiplash. Like I got these screenshots saved, but I haven't posted them yet because it's just depressing. I don't care about them. But it's like if you get on YouTube now, you just type in like plant burnout,
Oh my gosh.
you'll see all of these, wanted to be like plant influencers, and they're like telling their stories about how they're burnt out on all the plants. And I'm like, you that's like a borderline personality disorder shit. But like
Yes.
you doing that is like gonna kill the industry in and of itself. So
Yeah.
it's super difficult, but it is something that everybody has to contend with. And at the end of the day, you have to be able to step back and be like, okay, well, this is cool and it's interesting, it's exciting, it's new, but is it me? Like,
Right.
is it part, does it realistically need to be part of my brand? Yeah, it looks like the brands that are utilizing it are successful, but that doesn't
Right.
necessarily mean that that's, so like even me, like I'm like a, like a, I, what I would say like a low energy, more monotonous type of person. It's like you see on YouTube specifically, there's a certain type of YouTube personality. Boom, hey you guys, welcome to th it's like, do I need to be
Yes.
that to be successful on YouTube? It's like, no,
Right.
I could try, but then I'm not being myself.
Then
I'm
you're
not
not
being
being
real. And
yourself.
if I succeed, guess what happens if I succeed? I gotta keep faking for as long as I
Okay.
can. It's like, nah, that's not
Okay.
fun. Like that's failure actually. So
Yeah.
it's like I'd rather, continue to be who I am, focus on what I got going on, and think about realistically what works for me, what my real true interests and passions are. I like dancing at home by myself. I do it often. I never one time thought that I'd like to do it for a TikTok audience.
Oh my
So it's
goodness,
like I'm not
listen.
gonna get swept into the next trending sound where it's like, but these people are getting 100,000 views. Maybe I need to start dancing. Like, nah.
Yeah, I can't
But
that
yeah,
trend. I can't keep up with that one.
we're all vulnerable to that, and
Yeah.
I think that it's important to ask the important questions before you get to YouTube talking about your plant burnout. I'm sure
You know what? That's
that's why I made that video.
interesting.
Like y'all don't gotta be like, some of y'all are gonna turn into plant hoarders because you don't understand this. It's like it can become a personality. So because that's
Yes.
how real life is. Like
Yes.
we are living in a real life, and yes, we are doing these things on social media. But like there's out of all of us in the plant community, there's somebody that rushed out and grabbed 200 plants that it will become a hoarder. Will become
Yep.
that will have to really deal with not being able to get rid of them. And it's like,
Yep.
and I mean, I don't want to even harp on those problems of it, but it's just like these are the real life aspects of social media and stuff like that. So it's
Yes.
like we have to consider those things firstly before we consider, before we
Yes.
approach
Oh
this
my
tool or this
gosh.
platform, this space.
Listen, what I love about this conversation is this is why I created the plant deck, because I wanted us to talk about the parts of being a plant parent that people are a little afraid to talk about on social media. So there are questions like, have you killed a plant on purpose? Or what is one thing that you see people doing on social media with their plants that looks stupid? Like, and my thing is like, you shouldn't, first of all, we shouldn't be afraid to say what we feel, right? Like, we all be thinking some of the same things. And so that's why I created that, because I'm like, no, let's get real. And we can have fun, but let's be honest about how we feel about some of these things, because yes, we all love plants a lot. We met through that community. But to keep it real, right now, my love for plants is only between a peace lily, a fiddle leaf fig, and a monstera. That's it. I mean, no shade
Yeah.
to all these that I got behind me, but those are my favorite plants. And I've learned that throughout sort of the trials that I've experienced and buying a bunch of plants and then realizing like I don't really feel like caring for you.
Right. That's what I'd be trying to remind people of, like, hey, just keep it real. Like at the end of the
Yes.
day, yes, it became an important part of a lot of people's lives during like
The
lockdown and stuff
pandemic,
like
yeah.
that. But just to everybody to really think about where you the spaces that you see yourself in the future. It's less about like creating content for a community or to get to get seen by this community,
right,
than to become a staple of the community that the stable that the community can rely on. It's like the community might not need to rely on you for, you know, soil advice on Instagram, but it's like, are you really somewhere building something for this community that the community can then be able to be like, yes, this pushes the community forward. And yeah, so at the end of the day, it's like, think the way things shake out in every single industry, people don't even understand, but like, the reals, the fakes always get separated from the real, because at the end of the day, it's like, you can't fake being as good at basketball as LeBron. Because if you come in the gym and you try to practice for an hour and a half, by 20 minutes, you're already running to YouTube to make a video about your basketball burnout. Then it's like the pros are at the hour and 20 mark, and they don't even remember you anymore, because they're innovating their way of doing this thing, you know, here now. So it's like, at the end of the day, if anybody's listening to this and they're inside of the plant industry, whether it's through the creator side or as a plantrepreneur or any type of outdoor field or farm or stuff like that, it's like don't even worry about like the social media aspects of it. Worry about like the real aspects of like building your farm, getting your like before. Like that's why I like I said, I got caught up in it. I don't.
Yeah.
I probably made one or two like, oh, this is how you do this type of thing.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, I don't want, that's not even something I want to do. Like, realistically, a lot of these people I do, like, you really want to be an educator? Like, why don't you just go be a teacher? Like, why don't you, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, but you're a, you know, a banker, but you're over here, you know, educating us on this. So it's like, are you really here? Or are you just here? You know,
are you doing it because you know it's a quick come up for the moment? Or do you have
and
a true
the ones
passion?
That they don't realize that it's very visible. It's very visible, because at the end of the day, it shakes out. And at the same time, also realize anybody that just entered, every single newcomer will always be looked at that way.
Yeah.
Every single, I'm still looked at that way.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, it's like, are you going to be there at the 100-hour mark? Or are you tapping out now? Are you looking at the obstacles that we're facing now? Or because the people, you're going to, it's, oh man, you're going to get me diving into the whole way that trends work and everything like that.
Let's
but like,
go.
Literally, like, stick your flagpole. I hope that somebody understands this, but like, stick your flagpole in the dirt somewhere and just hold on to it. You don't have to chase the trends everywhere they go.
Nope.
Like, you just, you be the consistent thing. And these waves, they come and go. It's, and if you're here next time it comes, then you were here. You know what I'm saying? And you get to reap the rewards. But it's like, you don't. If you follow the trends and you chase them to where you think they are, you'll look up one day and realize like, oh, the trend left me. And then you try to chase, catch it. Oh, I'm here. I learned to dance. And then
listen,
this is the next one.
I was just
one.
About to say that. While you're over there trying to figure out that new TikTok dance, it's a brand new trend coming right back out and you're left behind.
Because the real dancers are like, I started practicing this 20 years ago.
Exactly.
So you were trying to learn a dance that I mastered 10 years ago, actually. Like, so
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yo,
so I just encourage the real to continuously be looking at the problems that we are all facing. If you consider yourself part of the community, part of the industry, part of anything, there are problems that we are all facing. And if you decide that you want to be a part of it, then you have to be one of the people that are like, these are the problems and these are the things that we're facing. And this is what I will do. I couldn't wait around for any of the other publications to start showing Black Men with Gardens.
Oh, we're going to get into that.
It's just like, somebody has to do it. It's like, I want to see it. It's like, somebody has to do it. So it's like, I'm not going to wait for somebody else to do it. I'll do it. This is the problem I see. What am I going to do with the problem? Am I going to, I made my videos, all the algorithms racist, but what did you do to combat it? What did, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what's going to implant you then into the community, into the staples where people look at you like, oh man, like, you're figuring, you won't even, by, like you saying that stuff to me at the beginning of the call, you won't even see it. They were like, I was just trying, dog. I was just trying to do something, dog. Like,
like what? Nah. Oh my gosh. First of all, I love this conversation because I oftentimes scroll through social media and I'm like, oh God, here's something else that, you know, people are jumping on. And some people are really good at it. Like, you could tell that this is their thing. And then I sometimes I picture myself trying to do it. And I'm like, girl, stop. Like, this
I've been
is
picturing
me.
The dances. Wait,
yes.
Like, I thought about that today. What if it popped up on TikTok doing some type of You know,
like, I can't even think of some of the stuff, but God. I know I would look crazy because I would look uncomfortable. You would know that I practiced for 4 days to get this 15 second video together, and I still look uncomfortable. I'm like, listen, I stay in my lane. I know what I'm good at. I know that podcasting is my thing. I know that creating, you know, products and stuff like that is my thing. And I'm going to stay there. Like, because what you're not going to see me doing is forcing videos in your face of me holding my plants, making them talk. Like, I'm just not good at that. Like, to everyone who is, keep, if that's your thing and you are booming off of that, keep going. Like, but don't force yourself.
They are like that because they are, that's their thing. Like, and they're there. They're on the application learning how to use every single one of those effects and those functions, how to do it, you know, get them.
That shit.
And that's why they're successful with it. And a lot of people try to emulate it, but it's always the originators that, you know, that kind of, they take all the arrows, but they get to kind of reap rewards and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like, I just continue to remind all my peers and all my brothers, all my sisters, that it's just like, always envision yourself in the future, and like always know that not only do like Black people exist in the future, but like we actively get to decide what the future looks like as well. Like, we aren't just recipients of what, like, every time I ask people a question, I'm like, what does the future look like to you? And they're like, there's flying cars, there's da 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 da. I'm like, which aspect of the future did you help build?
Right.
And so it's like, we get to decide, or else we're just gonna be handed down stuff. Like, we were all handed Instagram.
Yep.
We're all handed these technologies. Yep. And then we get to sit here and complain, like, oh, it disproportionately affects us. It doesn't. It's like, you know what I'm saying? So let's remember, we're part of the future. We can fix these problems. We can create new things. If you have an idea of a way that the future can be, if we can envision it and then dream big enough and maybe even try to act on it, then shit. You might become, you know, part of that thing in the future that people are grateful to have, you know what I'm saying? And it can start now. You can start now. You can start tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, know that when we started Black Men with Black Gardens, Black Girls with Gardens, there were already plant pages that had hundreds of thousands of following. And you know how hard it is when you look at those and you're like, they already monopolized the space, the same hashtags and all this stuff. And it's like, I just posted to my 10 followers today, but it's like, nah, I'm thinking about the future. It's not, it's not about the way that this one post was received. It's about what all of these posts are going to do for somebody in the future when they're able to find it and able to resonate with it and stuff, you know?
Yes. That's how I feel about being in this podcast space, because there are not a lot of Black, like, home and garden, that's what I'm considered, podcast. There's Black in the Garden and myself. But there are not many others. And so when I often look on the charts, because thank God I've been charting in the home and gardens for US and like around the world, but I look at all of the faces that are on there and I'm like, I have to stay here. I have to continue pushing, no matter how long it takes for me to get to those numbers where they are. I got to keep pushing, because there's a reason why I'm in this space. There's a reason why people still want to listen to my podcast. And it just keeps, it reminds me of what I have to look forward to in the future. Like, you're going to see my face on somebody's TV one day hosting something. Like, I know that's going to happen.
Speak it.
When, where, how, what, I don't know, but I know that is going to happen. And so I keep reminding myself. And they're going
to
pull up
this clip and they're going to show it to you on the interview. Like, you remember when you said that?
Remember this? You was in your house. No, dead ass. Because I mean, like I mentioned earlier, everything that in production, like I do, I mean, from editing, from creating the show format, reaching out to the guests, I do all of that. And it's truly, just something that I love. Yeah. And it's a lot of freaking work. There be times where I'm 30 minutes out for an interview and I want to be like, hey, can we reschedule? Like, but I got to go put on my face. We all got
those days. That's what makes you a professional.
Ugh, it's a lot. But okay. So I have to just get to this last thing before I let you go. You are coming out with something incredible. And something tangible, something that we'll be able to see on our shelves, something that we'll be able to see beautiful Black people all over it. Listen, I'm going to submit something for it. You know what I'm talking about. Please tell us about your baby that is coming soon.
So I'm going to publish a magazine. It's called Garden Era, which if you like spell it out, it's like Gardener A magazine, but it's Garden Era because of the new era of gardeners, which is us. And essentially it's another creative solution to a problem. The majority of our community exists on social media, and social media isn't owned by us. It's not, you know, it's not even curated by us. It's run by an algorithm, essentially.
Right.
And at the same time, we create so much dopeness for nothing. I mean, I do pay campaigns and stuff like that, which is great, but it's like the majority of people create like dope ass stuff
for nothing.
for free. Which listen, it makes you better up as an artist, as a creator and stuff. But yeah. I'm like, all right, so how about if I can create something that creates a tangible value for people, but that, and by creating a tangible value for people, can contribute to the people, or can compensate the people that contribute to literally create a cycle, because at the end of the day, it helps move us away from relying on the singular space. It gives us a place to make money, another outlet for another stream of income for, let's say, a farmer or a backpacker and stuff like that. That stuff's like important to know, like, oh, the work or the thing that I'm creating now, I can make money for.
Yeah.
And to then be able to also see yourself reflected in these type of publications, you know, I'm not going to call out any other publications by name, but, you know, while these other publications are racing to have their first, you know, indigenous cover story, or their first, you know, Black woman model, or their first, you know, Asian editorial, it's like, or the first, you know, transgender, you know, anything. It's like, you guys are, after hundreds of years of being here, you're just now getting to your first. I'm like, we're starting. Right. This is where we start. This is where we are. This is who we are. And so at the end of the day, it's just like, it's just another way for all of us to kind of share what we're doing. In a sustainable way, where what we're sharing value, we're receiving value back, and we can continue to do that and move forward. And at a certain point in time, it's like, if I can build it the way that I envision it, it will start to take away from Instagram's hold on all of our lives. Because if you're spending an hour reading a magazine or tearing pages out to put on your wall or stuff like that, then you're spending less time on social media. If you are spending time writing a piece for a magazine that can compensate you instead of spending time figuring out the new TikTok filter that won't necessarily compensate you, then it's like we'll have different place to put our efforts, because at the end of the day, as a creator personally, like I said, I left high school and knew that I would be creating the type of life that I live. So that's why I'm even at or on Instagram, because it's one of the biggest marketplaces.
Yeah.
So it has to be a tool that I utilize to make a living.
Yeah.
So it's like at the end of the day, Instagram almost monopolized that aspect of even being an artist.
Yeah.
To where it's like it became one of the biggest marketplaces and stuff like that. And so, yes, there's all these other magazines and publications that'll pay and compensate and stuff like that. And like, I want to enter the sphere and shake it up and bring in a new, you know, image and a new style, essentially, because a lot of them are just kind of stuck in their old ways. And they, a lot of them, just plain and simple, all of them rely on popular people with a lot of money.
Yep.
If you can find a popular person, and if they have a lot of money, they have beautiful, expensive stuff. There's your story.
Yep.
And you know, this popular person already has a couple thousand people that want to see. So it sells itself. They don't have to change the business model. But what happens when you put a normal person on the front of a magazine? You know what I'm saying? It's like.
Listen, okay. Wow. So when can we expect this on our newsstands?
Good question. So it is actually in the final touches right now.
Okay.
I wish I could show you. I wish I could show you. But it will be ready in February.
Yay.
And I will be letting everybody know exactly when, and I will let everybody know a little bit ahead of time.
Awesome. And so you'll just, it'll be like features, articles, all types of stuff. Do you have ad placements in it?
So the first issue, I didn't take on any major advertisers.
Okay.
All I did was I offered advertisement space to small minority owned businesses.
Okay.
And I just said, you can have free advertising space if you just send me photos, whatever. I'll create an advertisement for you.
I try to make
it more like a bigger, you know, thing, but I don't want to be marketing too much.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like, so I'm like, but yeah, that's one aspect of it. It's like, you know,
okay.
I'm paying for it all out of pocket. It's not like, you know, any, you know, there's no big interest behind it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's another thing that I'm going to attempt. And hopefully, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's another thing that I can attempt or try to create or will create. And that's it. Like, I'll create it and I'll put it out there and, you know, let it live its own life.
I'm excited for you. When I saw it, I was like, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. And I didn't really answer your question. So yes, so I got a recipe from Minty Bong Water that's going to be in it and that's Terrell Davis. He makes different types of teas online. You know him on Instagram? If you aren't following him, he goes by Minty Bong Water. He's world famous for making the most amazing tea. And he put together a recipe for a mango hibiscus tea, which is amazing. And then I got an amazing illustrator to illustrate the recipe.
Yes.
And then we have different features from some amazing figures in the field and just even photos from just normal people that just submitted photos from their with their plants. Like, there's just more of like community spotlights, and then also a plant in the first issue is a gardening themed crossword puzzle.
Oh, dope.
For like the crossword puzzle lovers.
Okay. Dope. Yeah. Listen, I'm gonna be in your inbox like, all right, so this next issue, what can I put in there?
Hey, let's figure it out. We can work something out.
Listen, I'm very excited about that. I cannot wait to purchase my copy. I just can't wait to see it everywhere. I think I really love Black people who are publishing sort of plant thing related things, because I know when I first put out my book and it was picked up in different plant shops, a lot of the plant owners were like, you're the first Black author's book that we have in here. And I'm just like, oh, we got it. That's, you know, I know other people are sitting on great content and great books. And, you know, I can't wait to see more of that. So I'm really, really excited for you. Congratulations on that.
Thank you. Congratulations to you too.
Yes, I can't wait to get some of those. So thank you so much. I feel like we could probably talk even longer, but I'm not going to do that to you. I'm about to go binge watch some shows, but nice. Thank you so much for joining me, Nelson. I really, really appreciate it. You have no idea. I'll be watching from the back, like, all right, yes, yes, do that. Like, okay, you inspire me. I was really excited when you agreed to join me on this podcast.
For sure. No, yeah, I've been following you for a minute. So I see everybody else you speak to. You guys always have amazing conversations and stuff.
Thank you. So I want to close this out with a quote. And then after I close out with this quote, please tell my followers where they can follow you, how they can support you and all of that great stuff. And then I'll hit the quote.
I think the best way to support me is to go to www.garden-era.com. And that's garden-era.com. And just subscribing to the email list. I'm not trying to, you know, blast people with advertisements and stuff all the time. Like, I'm just trying to get the information directly to people that want to, you know, hear about it. And since I made the announcement, I've gotten hundreds of people signed up on the email list, which is amazing. So it's like, I'm trying to move away from all of us relying on Instagram to disseminate anything that we're trying to do. I'm trying to meet people at their homes, at their door, you know, in their backpacks when they go camping, in their gardens. Like, let's like keep it there. And then, you know, we can get on Instagram to see other people dance, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's like, yeah. So like there's that, and then you know, just kind of you can follow at Black Girls with Gardens and just kind of tap in.
Awesome. And I'll make sure to include all of that in the description section of this show. But I want to close this out with a quote from you that I love. I think that it speaks volumes, and it is, "The trouble is you think you have time." You said this some time ago. And
right? What was I on?
You said, "What was you?" Listen, when I read that, I said, "Yo, that's facts," because we oftentimes put things off because we think we have tomorrow. We're like, you know what? Nope, I'm gonna do that tomorrow. Oh, I'm gonna do that in 3 weeks. Oh, I'm gonna do, you know. So that quote, "The trouble is you think you have time," from you, I think is the perfect way to sum up even this entire conversation.
That's not a threat. It's not like, oh, you're running out of time. It's like we always kind of assume that the greatest things we want in life, we'll get it later on. We'll get there. We'll take that big step, you know, when the time is right, and or we'll, you know, pursue our passion after we get this much money or whatever it is. We kind of always think that we can use time and allow time before we do those things. When actually, if you remove that and you get to work now, you'll actually be really surprised by the results you get first and foremost. But the problem is you think you got time. We don't.
No.
You know, we're here for a short period of time, and you shouldn't spend that time not following anything that you're not, you know, passionate about. That just, you don't love. And like, and I sound dumb, but it's like, I say that because, yeah, it's like, it sucks too. Like, if you're listening to me and you're like, yeah, he says, it's like, if you want to really go out and try to find your personal treasure, sometimes things are going to suck. Yes. But it's like, which one do you want? Do you pick your suck? Like, do you want your suck that comes from you chasing after what you want, or the suck that comes from you knowing you're not? You know what I'm saying? Like, choose.
And then, like, you know? Do you want to always say, oh, tomorrow, oh, I'll do it tomorrow? Like, come on now.
You won't be the same. You won't be the same tomorrow. You know, it's like at the end of the day, even physically, we'll be different tomorrow. So I can't say, you know, oh, in 30 years, I'll climb that mountain. In 30 years, I don't know what my abilities will be. So it's like, let me strike while the iron's hot, whatever the old saying is.
Yeah,
because a lot more people are doing it. COVID, you know, the whole quarantine kind of it showed a lot of people like, oh, we don't have to live like this. We can live below our means. We can, you know, live. We can do these things, and we can, you know, die. Oh, I was actually interested in this thing, or I want to learn more about this thing, and I can start doing that now. It's like, it's
Earlier you said, I mean to cut you off, but earlier you said something about putting down your phone and like opening your magazine. And if you think about that in the same way of putting down your phone and writing that first sentence to your book, you know what I'm saying? Like we think that we don't have time, but if you really look, and I mean time within that day, I'm not even talking about tomorrow, but if you think about your day and the time that you spend scrolling, there are times where I can't sleep and I'm scrolling and I'm like, girl, you could have put on some soft tunes and taking your butt to sleep slowly. But instead,
we hate hearing that as humans. We don't like that.
No, you don't. But if you really analyze your time, 30 minutes, there's so many things you can get done in 30 minutes. You could record an episode in 30 minutes. You can read 10 pages, 5 pages, however long it takes you to read in a book. You know what I mean? There's so many things that you can do with just that amount of time. So I thought that quote was perfect. And I forget, I think it was on one of your pictures, and I like scrolled through all of them.
I remember it was like a caption on one of them for sure. Yeah,
and it just hit me and I was like, boom, let me write this one down. But anyways, okay. All right, I'm going to let you go. Once again, thank you so much for joining me. I'll be sure to include all of your information in the show description so people can follow you so they can purchase the magazine when it comes out. Any last words for my listeners?
No, if you're having trouble, no, but let me talk.
No, but here we go.
In trouble deciding what it is that, you know, is your thing, like, you know, your thing. Never forget that you can just literally look at anything that you like and say, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. And you can choose your thing.
Mm-hmm.
You can choose your thing and dedicate yourself to that thing. And it's not always something like, oh, I was born with it or blah, blah, blah. It's like, you can choose a thing and dedicate yourself to it. And while you're going through that process, you know, you don't have to make it all visible to everybody. It doesn't need to be, you know, kind of displayed to the whole world. Like, don't be afraid to dip out for 2 years and take a photography apprenticeship, or dip out for some time and take a woodworking or ceramics apprenticeship, and to just like kind of disconnect to learn something else, because like all of this stuff is going to be here, you know, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Zynga, whether it's MySpace, these marketplaces, these digital marketplaces, places and spaces are going to evolve. And if you can just practice on getting after your passion and your talents and developing them, then trust me, like, you'll be able to utilize any tool in the future to really, you know, create value in your life. So really just, you know, get after it. And be afraid. Do it while you're afraid. If you're afraid, do it while you're afraid, because that feeling's even crazy too. Like,
yes,
I got a big project right now I'm working on that I'm like, oh my God, there's so much chance of failure. Bigger the stuff you do, bigger the chance of failure gets. And it's that in itself is such an enthralling feeling. And if you learn to kind of like hack yourself and like, you know, really understand like, oh yeah, like even if I'm afraid, I'm still gonna show up and I'm still gonna give it my all. Then I think that you're just gonna kind of fail your way into something you really freaking
into
love.
Something incredible. And that pounding that you feel in your chest, those sweaty palms, you know,
that's being alive.
That's normal, and it's just, it's gonna keep pushing you. And it's
That's when I truly feel alive. That's when I'm like, yes, that's how I know I'm successful, because I'm like approaching these things, you know, like the things that, like, you know, these things are scary. Success is scary. You know, achieving the things that you want to achieve is scary. Like,
it is.
Being in a studio with, you know, cameramen and all this stuff and producers, it's scary. It's less scary when you have the experience because you've been doing it by yourself and stuff like that. And even then, you'll still be getting those jitters and those fears. But then the professionals, the ones that we look up to, those are the people that push through those fears and stuff. And like, and you can, you know, you're one of those people unless you let your fear tell you you're not.
Right. And
I'm gonna let you go, man.
I'm gonna say something else too. Okay, we're not gonna do that. We're gonna do a part two. How about that? We'll just do episode. So like I always say, you guys, make sure you rate, subscribe, review, follow me on YouTube. Follow me wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Please do some downloading, because those downloads help with the pods. And y'all, love, peace, and propagate. Bye-bye.